This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, this morning, I just feel in awe of you. What a wonderful God we serve. The living God, the only God. The creator of everything that exists. And I want to ask you to be with us today and that you will talk to us and that we will listen and obey. Amen. I hope my voice will go through this whole time. I'll try and make it as short as possible. Actually, when I was standing there at the back listening to the worship this morning, I realized how great God is. And what happened is what I wanted to say changed quite a lot. So if I struggle a little bit with words sometimes, bear with me, because it was amazing to me that what I prepared for today have to change, unfortunately. I've never experienced this in my life before. And I just realized it must be God. So, Paul, the slides, I think I said to you already, it's not going to work exactly as I planned, but you can't see it in any case, so it doesn't really matter. You know, when I in the times when I grew up, it was a bit before many of your time. My first experience with Jesus was in 1972. I don't know who of you were around that time. I don't think many. I can see a couple of faces that I think was there. But I remember clearly it was on a youth camp. And excuse me. But I was lost. I was on a little rubber boat in the middle of the ocean. And I just remember that God reached out to me. Now, since then, I think as what many of us can say in our lives, you have your ups and downs. You lose it sometime, and then after a while you just realize, but God is still with me. God still loves me. I think I was in standard 7 at that stage. And then when I was in matric, also in a youth camp, God touched my heart again. At some stage, maybe later in... If there's a chance, I can tell you a little bit more of how my life went and where I come from, whatever. I haven't got much of my own blood family today here. So, not many that know me. The last couple of weeks, about, is it 13, 14 weeks now? About. You will see that some of you know me from quite a while already in the church. We've joined this church about 3 years ago. And we were in a church in Potchefstroom for since about 9. We differ, my wife and myself, because she's more accurate than me. I think it was about 1987, 88, 89, somewhere around there. We used to be in that church. We lived in Potchefstroom for 33 years, and then we came back to Pretoria. I met my wife here in Pretoria at the varsity. a couple of years ago. In March next year, we will be married 40 years. So we hope to have some kind of celebration. And we were married on the same day as Kobus and them. So the only difference is they are now one. They will be 1 year married, and we will be 40 years married next year. But we will celebrate it together, and we will celebrate it with the church, because that is not us. It's not about us. It's about what God did in our lives over many years. And we can tell a lot of stories, what we went through. Every married couple will know that marriage is hard work. It's not something that happens and you're there and like the movies say, happily ever after. We are happy, yes, but we are two different people, and we have to live together, and we sort it out. And we made a commitment before God and say, until death do us part, and we will do that. I've gone on a bit of a side track here, but any case, 13 weeks ago, about 13 weeks and 2 weeks, I slipped on a wet floor, so you'll find that I walk a little bit strange. And I don't walk up and down here. I don't like to walk up and down all the time, any case, but I can't because my legs are quite sore. I used to be on anti-inflammatory medicine for almost 6 weeks, and I've decided at that point it's not good for myself. It's not good for my health. I need to stop that because I couldn't sleep after 6 weeks. What happened is, some of you might have experienced that in your life, and that is that I tore almost all the ligaments in both my legs, both my knees. So after 6 weeks, I went for an MR, and the doctor said to me, I don't need to feel like a sissy. It was quite sore. You can see that. So, and now we're on week 13, and I still need to use pain pills to sleep, but I want to share the positive with you about that. Many people have prayed for me, and it's not like it got healed instantly, never. And there's a purpose for that. What happened these 13 weeks is, every night, I can actually invite you to call me anything, anytime between 12 and 3 in the mornings, because then I'm awake because of pain. But that is wonderful, because at some points I got stressed about all kinds of different things and whatever, and then I realized, but this is a wonderful time to talk to God. And for the last 13 weeks, I've spent really wonderful times with God between 12 and 3 in the mornings. And the last week or two, when I was preparing for today, he showed me a couple of things, and I was praying to him, and I've asked a lot of questions. And I'm going directly after this. I want you to take a part in a little bit of what I want to share today, but we'll come to that now. But I've asked myself a lot of questions, and I've asked God about, by the way, did anybody come in that's visitors today after we ask if there are any visitors today? No visitors. Are you a visitor? So bear with me, because I might say some things that it's actually meant to the church, to us, but it might be good for you as well. That brings me, I love the history of the early church. It is wonderful to see how the people in that time actually did, if I can call it, church. You know, in the first 100 or so years after Christ, the sermons, Sunday meetings were something like 3 hours long, in general, average. Because they had a time for people who were curious, who came in to find out what's going on here. They had time for prayer, and they had time for teaching their own members. That's what many of them did. many of the churches. And I was thinking this last couple of weeks, we had sermons over, we come to church every Sunday, most of us. And we listen to the messages. And then I ask myself, so what are we doing about it? Can we see something happening because of that? Does it change my life? Can I look back at some of these sermons and say, this is, I've actually, what is the, I don't know what the correct word for that to use is, but internalize or whatever they call it, make it part of my life. Does it change my life? On the Monday after the sermon that I've heard, did I do something different? On the week, on the months after that, did we arrive or do we think we've arrived? And this is a lot of the things that I've asked God over the last weeks that I've spent this time with Him. And if I look at my own life, my idea was to talk about what makes the difference. If I look at my own life and I look at what I was like when I was 10 years, 15 years old, whatever, and I look at my life now, did it change? Or do I still do the things the same? Do I still have the same habits? Whatever it might be. If I look at our church, are we different than the world outside? If I look at myself and my neighbor, isn't Tando here today? He was talking about the church in the wild last Sunday. I don't know if you remember that. And about looking at people who are what we will call, in my words, sinners. Do I want to get involved with them or don't I want to get involved? Do I keep a distance from those kind of people? There's another kind of that he didn't actually mention specifically, and that is people that I just plainly differ with. That's a difficult person. It's not like a prostitute or drug dealer or something like that. It's just I don't get along with that person. What is how do I act when I get involved with people like that? I briefly want to refer to Paul, what he said about himself. Paul said, for me, to live is Christ. And my question to myself, and I want to say that to you, what happened to me over the last 13 years, I've asked these questions to myself. So when I stand here and I talk about this, it's not like, we all know that thing, if you point a finger to somebody, 3 points to yourself. And that is true about every person who stands in front of people talking. So I need to ask myself, what Paul said, can I say that of myself? Paul also said that he rejoiced being chained to Roman soldiers. I don't know if you remember that we've seen that this scripture. I think he wrote to Philippians and he said it's actually a blessing to be chained to the Roman soldiers when he was captured, because then he had a captured audience. And actually some of those guys got to know Jesus. That was Paul's life attitude. He was looking at people, and he was looking, if I refer back again to last week's sermon, he's looking beyond the person. And what can I bring to this person? Can I introduce him to Jesus? And then one of the things that Paul said often, it's all by grace. So what I want to do is I need a little bit of help this morning in terms of the past. couple of Sundays, whatever. Where's the microphone? Somebody got it. Okay. Just a couple of people. I want some people willing to say, what was the message from different sermons over the last month or two that we got in this church? Keep quiet for 2 or 3 minutes. Put your hand up if you want to say something. You will get the mic and you will just tell us you don't need to say who preached it or whatever, but something we've heard in this church over the last month or two, what you can remember. Thanks. There's one. We can start there.
So Philip preached on the value of money, but he started the talk first just talking about how to steward your money, the difference between bread money and seed money, and having a budget just to make sure that you actually budget for things that you need, that you don't end up not eating and spending all your money on other people, but also having the liberty to sow the money and not being stressed about it. So then he ended off with the value of money, and money is actually there as a tool for us. So we shouldn't serve money, we should serve God and use money to be able to serve God. That's the short of it.
There's another one.
Hello. So there was a preaching from the book of 2 Kings. It was basically, so the whole message was rounded on the secret place or the inner room. So God had spoken to like a prophet, and he basically had told the prophet to go and anoint a general of, I think it's Bathsheba's army, and the king he had, the Israelite king that she had married. So when God spoke to the prophet, he told him specifically like to get the general into an inner room and then prophesy, or rather say the words that God had for the general, and then leave the room, like, and not even shut the door, and like, and straight away, like, run. So the message was basically rounded on what message does God have for us in the inner room, like how much time are we spending with God personally, because that's basically where God speaks to us. And it was, you know, merged together with other verses from the book of Matthew, I think. So basically it was, God has chosen many people, but a few are like, oh, many are called and a few are chosen. So basically, and then Psalm 91, like, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So just basically, in closing, it was, you know, what message does God have for us in the inner room? How much time are we spending with God personally? And it's in most cases when God makes a major move in a certain place, he basically starts in an inner room. Even with David, like, it was when David was alone in the wilderness where he faced bears and lions before he went to face, like, the major Goliath and something. So, yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Okay, I'll try to be brief. I just remember Michal's sermon a while ago that talks about dying to ourselves, and that sometimes we feel like nothing is happening in our lives, but it's God requires us to really die to ourselves, to die to our own plans, to die to our own ambitions, and trust him to work through us, and trusting him that in the right time he will bring to multiplication what we have sown, and the importance of first of all serving God, but also serving the people around us. And then it's really about his glory, not about our glory.
Now, I think about Sean's sermon, which really touched a lot of our hearts, about those Emmaus people that was walking around with Jesus. And it was so cool most of us could walk away and internalize really the fact that we sometimes lose our eyes from Jesus and just start focusing on the other things of life, and also start criticizing the church and criticizing and really work with that word of restoration in our lives. And I think it also touched our hearts.
Hi. Dando's sermon, that was last week. The title of the sermon was No Church in the Wild. And it was more of a challenge to us as a church and how sometimes it becomes so easy to put a label upon somebody and just say that this person is so far gone that God cannot reach them. But remembering that God reached all of us that are sitting in here, and how he gave us the example of Nicodemus, and how the people that were surrounding Jesus at the time, the people that were following Jesus, he likened it to the church, and how Nicodemus was trying to reach Jesus, and how sometimes as the church we can become, and just being conscious of the fact that sometimes as the church we can become a stumbling block to people coming to Jesus, and how we need to be conscious of creating and facilitating an environment in which people can easily come to Jesus. So, basically starting conversation, challenging us to start with conversations and pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones to reach people that the world or some or the other church might feel is too far gone. So, yeah.
Wonderful. This just now, I was a little bit teary when I started, and I'm going to share to you why. And this is now also just another thing that makes me feel like that, what these things that they shared just now was some of the things that myself was thinking of about the last couple of weeks. The things that, and it's just a confirmation of God is talking to us. Are we listening? And the reason why my message has changed since I came in here this morning till now, or when I started, was, and I mentioned that, is because of the worship. What was on my heart for today was Galatians. And Galatians was written by Paul. For those who, many of us maybe know, some maybe not know, Galatians was in the area where Turkey is currently. That's more or less where the Galatians are. And the problem they had was probably the biggest problem the church of that time had. That was in the first millennium after Christ. And what that was, people who wanted the church, well, specifically Jewish Christians who wanted the church to go back to the Mosaic laws. And they came into this church, or church, because it might have been the whole area of Galatia, and they taught them opposite of what Paul taught them. In Galatians 1 verse, I think it's 6 or 16 somewhere, Paul actually went so far as to say, you are literally following a gospel that's opposite of what I teach or taught. Paul spent the first two of the chapters of Galatians, and by the way, I don't know if you ever realized the heading of the letters. It's a letter from Paul to a congregation, or letter of Paul to an individual. It is letters, but God decided to make that part of his book for a reason. It's personal. It's personal to them, but if I read it, it becomes personal to me. And God talked to me through that, and he can talk to all of us through his word. But Paul wrote to the Galatians and said to them, you are actually following a gospel that's not the same gospel that I preached. And then at the end, he went back, and there were three things in the book of Galatians. The one is about the it's positive and negative. It's freedom. It's liberty, which is part of the freedom. License. I don't know if you've heard the term license regarding to Galatians before, but what Paul didn't write it like that, but some of the theologians say that that is basically what Paul did in the last couple of chapters, where he said you become complacent with the worldly things and you do things without thinking, and you've got the license to sin, basically, because you are under the grace. It's what he preached in Romans, and he said, shall we sit back and let sin more so that the grace can become more? And that happened in the congregation of Galatians as well. Then the law and then the freedom. But what did Jesus come to set us free of? Paul called himself a slave, but he also called himself an ambassador for Christ. And both of them, I mean, that's two different worlds. But the freedom is the one, was it the second song that you sang this morning? You have given us freedom. We have resurrection power. We can only have resurrection power if we have the freedom that Christ came to set us free of. If you understand what I'm saying. When we sang that song, I realized that this is personal. And I think God is talking to us. Well, I don't think so. I know He is, because we are His children. And I want to read Galatians 5. It was supposed to be on the slide. It is there. And this is the song this morning. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Isn't that amazing that the song that they sing is exactly what was on my heart to say this morning? Christ has come to set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, and now this refers back to what I said, that there was this group of people coming into the church saying they need to obey the Mosaic laws. That if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you who would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. This is the license that he's talking of. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There's another scripture I want to read to you in Luke 6. Luke 6, what was that? I think Luke 6, verse 43. Now, this is Jesus talking. And we actually know this. We read it so often. And Now, if we think about Galatians 5, the part that I just read, this is what Jesus said: for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if I spend time with God, we're talking about intimacy with God. What is the difference between me and the person who doesn't know God? Basically, we all know that we get this humanitarian people who do all the good things, and it looks pretty much like a Christian. But what is the difference? The difference is intimacy between me and God. How do I get that intimacy? You don't get intimacy with your wife if she stays in America and you stay in South Africa. It's impossible. On a telephone or nowadays, that's one nice thing about my time when I was young as well. There was only, you know, we had the telephone where you call and you say, I want a number so-and-so, that, and then the switchboard will have plug in all the cables. And that was a time when we grew up. And my telephone number where we stayed was Derdepoort 3, and our ringtone was long, short, long, long. So if the telephone rings long, short, long, long, I know it's our call I need to pick up. But if it's a different one, it's for somebody else because we're all on the same line. And you get this ladies on the farms that like to listen to other conversations, and you are ticks, ticks. It happened. Who of you have experienced that? You have? Wow. That's amazing, because that was many years ago. But in any case, you can't have, I do believe it, you can't have a relationship with a person if you don't spend time with that person. There's no chance of intimacy if you don't spend time with that person. And God wants intimacy with us. And the only way to do that is by spending time with Him. My small group must forgive me for saying this again, but in this 13 weeks, they're laughing, but it's true. God showed me to put down my phone Bible and take this. This, to me, is the Word of God. It makes a difference for me. I don't say, I'm not making a law of this today, but for me, it's a law because God told me, take your paper Bible, and it makes a difference. To sit in church sometimes with me, it happened. I'm a very big fan of the Formula One, and depends where it is, it might be in church time. So I've got this live updates coming through, and I might be sitting in church and reading, following the scripture, and then suddenly this pop up. It distracts myself. It distracts my attention from who I'm actually supposed to be busy with at that point. That is my point. If you read your Bible on your cell phone in the morning and your best friend sent you a WhatsApp, now I want to reply to that quickly. Then I'll carry on. It's time with God that you are wasting. That's my point. Don't you get out with God yourself. It's not for me. That's a personal thing. And I can tell you, it made a difference. Who referred to Sean's message a while ago? Quibbis, you referred to. What struck me that day on that specific sermon was, I was sitting somewhere there and I was listening, and Sean was saying he was sitting at the back and judging. The change must start here in my heart. And now I want to go back to what I've made some. You can see this is all the. I'm not going through all of this. I'm going to keep you busy until tonight, 6 o'clock. But we must keep our eyes on Jesus. That's another thing that we sing. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, all things in this world become dim in the eyes of you. In the light of you. Is that right? Is that the words? That is one of my favorite songs from all time. And I realize that is so true. If I spend my time with Jesus, if I walk with Him the whole day, then the things of this world, the worries of my work, the worries of people doing whatever, becomes dim. Because my focus is on Jesus. And then, I want to tell this one story that I read. About a guy, a woman who was, it happened in America somewhere. The woman was sitting in a car. The robot went green. She was, I don't know, doing what, but she didn't notice. And guy behind her got angry and hooted and, you know, shout, and you know what people do. And the next, there was a policeman standing at his window, and they arrested him. And he said to him, "You can't arrest me for doing things in my own car." He did nothing wrong. But in any case, the guy took him to the police station. They held him for a couple of hours, and then they let him go. And he said to him, "I told you you couldn't arrest me for something I did in my own car." And he said, "Yes, but you know what? I was sitting right behind you in my car, and I saw your actions in your car, and the back of your car, I saw this sticker saying, you know, this typical stickers of follow Jesus. Jesus is coming soon," or whatever. He had those stickers in his car. This guy that was going mad in his car. And the policeman said, "You know, I saw that and I saw the stickers and I thought this was a stolen car. So that's why I arrested you." But isn't it true about us? You know, my whole life, I was afraid to put any of those stickers on my car because I'm so sinful. I do so many things wrong. I I was like quite an aggressive driver at some point in my life. And I realized if I put that stickers on my car, it wouldn't be a good testimony. But we need to think about that. We need to think about, and again, if I look at the fruit that we just read about, the fruit of the Spirit, and what Jesus said about it. Am I free? That's my question today. And I ask it for myself. Am I free? Free of whatever the world tells me how to act or react or treat people. The anger fits that I get. Because if you look at that Galatian, that is mentioned in the verse before. There are so many things we just do, we don't think. The other thing is what I just have to ask you today is, what was your expectations when you came in this morning to the church? Was your expectation to come and listen to a good sermon? Because probably your chances of getting that is only dependent on what your needs are, not dependent on the person who's speaking in reality. Because sometimes we listen to people and it's not a good preacher. The message is really not good. But in that, God has a message for you. And do I hear what God's telling me today? Or do I criticize the person who's speaking? I had another challenge to my small group one day, and I said, you know, if we get to church, if you look at what some of the verses in the Bible say about church, is when you come to church, to some will have a word, some will have a psalm, some will have a tongue, whatever, other will. Do we see that happen? So my challenge to the small group is, if we get to the church, pray to God and say, is there somebody sitting here that you can go to and give a word that comes from God, whether you know that person or not? Are we willing to die of ourselves, the verse, and make a fool of ourselves because of Christ? Or do we want to hold the image? Keep the image. Be what? What will be the right word? Like you have the proper image. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to, but in any case. I have a challenge it's got nothing to do with the sermon. But I was and I'm going to tell you what happened to me once at the very last planted we had was there in Voortrekkerhoogte. Who was there that day? Can you remember what Sias did in that one sermon? I will never forget that because I had a very special experience. He said to us, go to somebody that you don't know. Can you remember that? And ask God to give you a word for that person. And you know what happened to me? And I want to... that's one thing Ntando said last week. Who of you expected that Ntando is going to ask us to engage in communication in the church? I was expecting that. Can you remember? Who was there last Sunday? Ntando said that I want you to communicate. And he said, I want you to get engaged. And I was expecting he was going to say, okay, listen, now is the time. Get somebody, get engaged. Who of you expected that? I expected that. And in a way, I was like relieved because, you know what, it puts a little bit of pressure on me to go and talk to that one and pray and ask, who must I go to? But on the other hand, I was actually a little bit... disappointed. Because of my previous experience I had was at that time when Sias challenged us to do that. I was sitting with this young black guy. About black and white, I can share you some of the... You know, the time when I grew up was totally different than now. Totally different, but in any case. But this guy was a student from Stellenbosch. I know that. That's all I know about him. Who came with the team. And he was sitting opposite me, and he was praying for me, a specific thing that touched my heart a lot. Can I share that? I can. Okay. I need to check with my wife, because you know sometimes I share some things that I'm not, you know. I've been very privileged, you know. I'm going to share this with you. Bear with me. How long? Sorry, it's not still not lunch, so I can carry on. The Lord gave me a wife that helped me think. Because I was one of those guys that never think. I just say, and I just do. You know, are some of you like that? It's actually easy to be like that, because you know, even if you think, are you hurting somebody or whatever, you don't think about it. Then the Lord gave me a wife that super to the other side, really, and very straight. So, and she, you know, point me that and wherever, and I need to think. And sometimes now, after 40 years, I start realizing I need to ask her first before I say something, because I might. But any case, let's get to the point. This guy prayed for our eldest daughter, who lives in America. He doesn't know anything about me. He didn't say a name or anything. Obviously, he wouldn't know that. But he prayed for our daughter to come to the Lord. Wonderful, isn't that? Because we know she went through a lot of things, and she basically, she's there where we pray for her. Then I prayed for him, and I said to him, I feel that the Lord is telling you to start talking, to don't keep quiet, say what you believe in, and don't be shy, don't hold back. And he said to me, do you know who I am? I said, well, I know you're from Stellenbosch, you're a student. He said, I am the SR. What is a, what? He's a student body. He's actually the, is it the president? Or what do they call him? What? Chairperson. What? Whatever. But he's, basically he's the most senior student on the whole campus. And he said to me, wow. He was amazed by that. I didn't know who he was, but that, sometimes we need to take that step and sit back and say, it's not about me. And are you willing to say, God, use me in the church and outside of the church to reach people, to encourage them, even to show them when they're doing wrong? So, can we do this? Are you willing to do that? Go to somebody in the church now. Not now. Just sit, get quiet for 2 minutes. Ask God. Two people. Not somebody who you don't know. And just pray. Not a long prayer. Short. Ask God to give you a word for that person. Just like that. So let us practice a little bit of getting out of our comfort zone. And we'll give about 5 minutes for that. And if somebody after that wants to come and share with us, I think let's do that. And then we can we can get the musicians to come and make a little bit of music for us in the background.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.